Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's hour number 2 of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Thanks for making us part of it. We're reacting to the divisional weekend. We're going to be getting you ready for the national championship game a little bit later on as that thing will kick off shortly before 7 o'clock. We're excited about that. But it's time now for Woolchuck's NFL News of the Day, and here he is, the Woolly Bully.
All right, the big news is Ben Johnson is your new head coach in Chicago of the Bears as they're finalizing the deal to hire him. Former Lions offensive coordinator, so the Lions are going to be looking to fill that vacancy. Dan Campbell was talking, hey, he's well aware that I'm probably going to lose both of my coordinators. So Ben Johnson, the first one gone, does appear Aaron Glenn's going to get his second interview with the New York Jets. And I do believe he is the favorite to get that job in New York. So I know a lot of us here in Dallas, we've been hopeful maybe Aaron Glenn could get the gig with the Cowboys. He's no longer in the playoffs. The Cowboys could really request and try and interview him at any point. But I think the Jets might be in the driver's seat there. Saints also a team to monitor that are trying to get Aaron Glenn services. Speaking of the Saints, though, Ben Johnson already putting together his staff with Chicago, and he's bringing former Saints head coach Dennis Allen with him to be the defensive coordinator. So Dennis Allen is going, after getting fired midseason, will join, having head coaching experience, Ben Johnson in Chicago. So you've got him running the offense, I'd assume, Ben. And then Dennis Allen, who is a very, very good DC, just has not made a good head coach over the course of his career in the National Football League. So that staff's coming together nicely.
Yeah. I mean, having a guy that's been a head coach before, you understand why you want to have somebody like that on your staff when you're a first-timer dude. But Dennis Allen, yes, as a defensive coordinator, he's been solid. He flustered Brady a handful of times throughout the years with the Saints there. So, and I don't know if you mentioned McCarthy, but you kind of wonder what happens.
Yeah.
Because it was like that was one of the main ones. Now it's really just the Saints. If McCarthy's going to get a gig, he's going to need to get this Saints gig.
And I don't know. I don't know what happens with Vegas. I know the reports were. Brady had hours of Zoom conversations with Ben Johnson. Really tried to sell him on the job there in Vegas with the Raiders. But this was the job that Ben wanted. I mean, we had heard over the offseason that, oh my gosh, Bear fans, how sick do you feel? That was the job that he was coveting as his number one priority. And then they end up saying, we're not going to fire Matt Eberflus. They do midseason, but they still end up getting their guy, and Ben Johnson gets the gig that he wanted. So congratulations to everybody there in Chicago. Jets are having that second in-person interview with Aaron Glenn today. They're also interviewing another general manager candidate as well, former Lions exec and current Commanders assistant general manager, Lance Newmark, is going to get the interview there. So that opened up some continuity. Aaron Glenn probably knows him from his time there in Detroit, and obviously he's done a fantastic job in Washington as that team's in the NFC Championship game, which makes everybody here in Dallas feel sick. But maybe you get a Lance Newmark and Aaron Glenn potential head coach GM pairing for the Jets. That seems like that's lining up and could possibly happen in New York. This was good for the NFL and for ESPN. How about Saturday's game between the Chiefs and Texans? Most watched ESPN game ever. 32.7 million viewers. So they cashed in on that Saturday afternoon slot, did ESPN. with that game between Mahomes and C.J. Stroud, and it was good. I mean, like, it was a bad beat for a lot of people when they go with the safety going from 11. I was with one of my friends watching it, and he had the 9.5. I was lucky enough to get the 8.5. But he gets the 9.5. They go for the safety there, and the lead goes to 9 points, and he was kicking himself. Like, that was an absolute terrible beat.
Yeah, that was awful. But you also had, I mean, I think C.J. Stroud is a big-time star that brings some eyeballs. And then you have the Taylor Swift-Caitlin Clark effect.
My gosh, how about those two just hanging out in the suite together? And Taylor's got it down now, where, like, she's like the head coach calling plays. She's just going to cover her mouth so nobody can read the lips. Mm. She knows, like, at any moment the camera could pan onto me. So now she's being very, very cautious about, I don't really want people to know what I'm saying or think they know what I'm saying, so I'm just going
to
cover up.
You love to see that in a player, like, acting like they've been here before, understanding that there's a time and place for everything, and they know what it means. Literally, everybody in the Chiefs organization rises to the next level come postseason time. And she's no different.
No different. Okay, so the Cowboys are supposed to interview Leslie Frazier today for their head coaching job. Now, the big rumor was, okay, Brian Schottenheimer is all of a sudden the betting favorite, according to Mike Florio on Pro Football Talks. Other people went and took this. Now, we've done an excellent job. We got so many good people here that cover the Cowboys, and our buddy Nick Harris has an awesome article out on the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. He doesn't feel like this has been Brian Schottenheimer to be the head coach, maybe more so as a play caller. Could he be the offensive coordinator for a guy like Robert Saleh? Or even if they were to hire Kellen Moore, I don't know how that works. If Kellen wants the play calling, maybe this is a leverage play. Like, hey, Kellen, we got another option that Dak and offensive players like. If you don't want to come here, we've got somebody else that will. But here's Shoddy in 14 seasons as an offensive coordinator in the league. He's ranked top 10 in yards per game twice. He's ranked in the top 10 in scoring offense, 5 of those 14 seasons, but only once did he rank in the top 5. Simply put, Brian Schottenheimer overall has not been a tremendous offensive coordinator in the National Football League. Now, the hope is you have a couple of years off of play calling, and maybe that does give you some more juice. You're looking, you're stealing, you're seeing what other people are doing.
Well, he told us he doesn't steal.
He did tell us that, but maybe he was lying to us, Brian. No, I'm trying to convince myself.
He was lying about not stealing?
But he really steals. He's really a stealer. That's why, you know, stealers aren't going to be honest about
Great
it.
Great stealers lie about the fact that they don't steal.
I'm a kleptomaniac. Did you know? No, you didn't.
Didn't have a clue.
Because I'm a tremendous liar. Tremendous.
But my pockets are always empty around you.
Yep, they
you
are. Know, I'm taking it.
I do think, though, like, just looking statistically at what he's done as an OC is tough. You know, it was Mark Sanchez and a Jets first, a defense first Jets team from 2006 to 2011. It was the Seahawks, you know, from 2018 to 2020, as the Seahawks' best days were behind them. Marshawn Lynch was on his last legs. Those were even different running backs like Penny and a couple of others. And then Rams, like right at the end of the Jeff Fisher debacle, 2012 to 2014, where they were going nowhere fast. Now, you could say he's partially to blame for some of those offenses, yes, but I just don't think they had the personnel. I love the idea of him having this incredible playbook filled with all these nuanced forward thinking, like next gen kind of dominant plays, and McCarthy just walks by it every day and never even opens it up over the course of the last 3 years.
I'm good here. Great ideas, but
just collecting dust.
Those will never work. Those will never work, Ben.
Let's open that book up.
Congratulations to Jaden Daniels. The only two rookie quarterbacks to ever beat a one seed in the playoffs are now Joe Flacco, whose Ravens beat the Titans in 2009, and Jaden Daniels, whose Commanders upset the Lions on Saturday Night Football. Guy of the Day. You nailed it there, Chief.
Boom.
There's also an interesting stat. 280 turnovers in the NFL since Week 12. The Chiefs have committed 0 of those turnovers. In fact, their 8 straight games without a turnover is the longest streak by any team in the Super Bowl era. Mm. Turnovers were certainly a theme this weekend, weren't they? And the ones that were able to protect the football moved on. The ones that weren't, they're going home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, isn't that the Jimmy Johnson thing in the postseason? It's not about making better plays. It's just about avoiding the disasters. That was always his thing. And that's what it was. I mean, all these quarter, like, you had Josh Allen, he didn't have to have some superhuman kind of day. Mm-hmm. Very efficient, but they were able to run the ball, and he got sacked, I think, one time, had no turnovers. That's going to get it done. Mm-hmm. Jaden Daniels, same deal. He was electric, but, I mean, Jalen Hurts, You don't have to do a whole lot. Just take care of the football, please. And even Jalen was kind of struggling with that. The safety.
Yes.
Kellen Moore was doing a couple of things yesterday. Oof. At the end of that game.
Well, that was, I was kind of looking at this. They get the ball back. You've got a chance to go ice this game.
Just go,
can you do
just
it?
Just go kill this game.
They punt it right back. And Stafford almost had his drive. And he was very, very close. Got him in scoring position, mm-hmm. unfortunately. It ended up being too much. Weather. I know A.J. Brown was talking afterwards like, man, you can't judge us for the passing game. We could barely see anything out there. So a lot of people are like, the Jalen Hurts can't be throwing for 150 yards and expect to win football games in the conference championship round and if they make it to the Super Bowl. That's got to change. But I can
well,
maybe,
if Saquon runs for 250, you're probably
right.
good.
Sure. And Barkley, my gosh, this dude is just making history week after week here. You look at the longest playoff runs that he's had. He had that 62-yard touchdown run yesterday on 3rd and 4 from Philly's 38-yard line. He takes it 62 yards, and that was incredible. He now has 5 rushing touchdowns of 60-plus yards this season, including the playoffs, most by any player in a single season in NFL history. And oh, by the way, I mean, if they didn't sit him the last week of the season, he had a chance, Eric, to break Eric Dickerson's all-time rushing record.
Could have been huge, man. I'm still feeling for the guy on that.
Boom,
one.
Brian. I got it in. At 310.
I knew you were going to do it. That's just brilliant work.
I'm here for you.
Not giving a guy an opportunity to do something historical is pretty embarrassing.
I did hear him earlier acknowledge running game and how effective it is, but he was like telling me you can do it with bums.
Yeah,
he did say that. He did say
that.
I was just saying, you don't have to pay $12.5 million.
These playoff games are important. Yeah, but you could do it with bums if you have to.
You can.
That's a paraphrasing, I will say. Let's just appreciate the fact that was not a direct quote. All right.
Barkley, 5th player since at least 1950 with 2 200-yard rushing games.
I think he used the word bums.
Against the same team in a season.
Well, I tell you what, that approach does give me a little bit of confidence that if Kellen Moore comes here and you can build the best offensive line in football and have the best running back the NFL has seen in a decade, maybe you could run all the way to the NFC title game because Dak ain't carrying you there.
Don't forget a top 5 D.
There you go. Yes. Man, that D came up big, didn't it?
Time and time again.
Man. All right. Here was the Eagles quarterback, Jalen Hurts, after the game. Now, some people are alluding that he might have been a little bit excited and on some Percocet in this post-game interview.
That's quite the allegation.
Are you thinking that Jalen Hurts might be impaired in any way during this post-game interview?
Well, I don't know if it'll snow next week. But rain, sleet, or snow, Eagles train to go. We'll be ready to go.
Do you love playing in the snow?
I love playing football. How about that? I used to put it on when we played a video game as a kid. I put the snow on 100 and all that, but that was as a kid.
So Perk Hurts, Perk Jalen, you know, these are all being thrown around. Now, this isn't the first time, like, if a quarterback maybe did take some pain relievers during the game. Mm. I did see Aaron Rodgers on Joe Rogan's podcast talked about how he used to do that at halftime.
Brett Favre used to do that all the time.
He absolutely did. And I'm sure many other quarterbacks have had to do this as well. But I guess that interview went viral, and well, Eagle fans are alleging that the aura of Jalen Perks is just getting greater and greater.
He did seem extremely excited. He dropped like some type of Dr. Seuss phrase in the midst of that.
He almost threw in an F-bomb there. And
it was interesting.
Himself.
I didn't have that thought as I was watching him go through that. I'm like, man, something is different about Jalen Hurts right now.
He's always so stoic and just like barely opens his mouth when he talks and just doesn't want to be there. And he was smiling from ear to ear.
Yeah, dude. He was jolly in that interview.
He was very jolly.
Maybe it's because of that running back he's got there, Broadus.
Probably is, man. He can just hand the ball off to Barkley.
I don't know why you'd go put a smile on anybody's face.
I'm telling you, you can just bum running backs can win these games.
Just bum it, man.
Yeah.
Just bum it.
Why would you go opiates when the T-train's available, though? Just do the Toradol. Just totally
Freight
numb everything.
Needles.
Maybe like in-game, it's just easier. Or, Freight of Needles. There's a guy that's done that before. Mm-hmm. He knows it. Big
Some
loss.
Guys develop an understanding that they actually play better on the perkies.
Calms it down. Commanders.
Fires you up.
It does. Okay, so yeah.
It's like prescription heroin, and you know, obviously that word is there because it makes you feel like a hero.
I definitely thought he was on perks when he took that sweet safety sack there in the late in the
I thought, hell yes, this is awesome. Now the Rams are about to go on a run. Unfortunately, they gave the ball right back, and the momentum turns in that moment. We're just, all right, Philly's going to win this game. Now the Commanders are going to have to beat the Eagles in the NFC Championship game without Sam Cosmi, former Texas Longhorn. Tore his ACL. He's out for the rest of the playoffs, and he's really been fantastic since he kicked inside the
door. That one was brutal, dude.
Terrible injury.
That's I was surprised his leg was still attached when he got up.
That's a needle mover in terms of who. That's a win loss kind of play, I think, right there.
It could
be the fact that him being out.
Yes, and now you got Jalen Carter, who is just emerging as one of the best interior defensive linemen in football. That's tough. That's going to be tough.
Can Jaden Daniels do it again?
Maybe. I'm hoping he can. Sean Hockley is going to ref Eagles Commanders. Eagles are undefeated with Hockley reffing them with Nick Sirianni as the head coach. They're 6-0. And he did officiate the Washington-New Orleans game earlier this season, which almost cost Washington a victory in that game when they were taking on the Saints. So I guess this would be plus to the Eagles. Cleet Blakeman's going to get the AFC Championship game assignment, so people can complain that everybody's loving the Chiefs, and the NFL is just going to give them all the calls.
I kind of feel like these are the two most officiated officials. What am I trying to say here? They call the most fouls.
Oh, okay.
These two
I mean, flag happy crews.
Sean Hockley was that Raiders pass happy.
I was about to call
game.
Them overfishes jerks, is what I was about to call them.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Colts are expected to hire Bengals DC Lou Anarumo as their new defensive coordinator. So he gets fired by the Bengals, ends up finding a new gig there with the Colts. Now, here was a very upset Lamar Jackson, but he was not really pointing the finger at anybody else, right? Both him and Harbaugh came out. They defended Mark Andrews, but this was Lamar's post-game comments talking about turnovers.
I had two costly turnovers, me not holding the safety, me just knowing the coverage, me knowing it was man, threw a BS interception. Gabe, it was 7-7 at the time. I believe they scored after that. Battle back, fumble. Snap, trying to make something happen. You know, couldn't throw. It was like a RPO play, so I couldn't really throw the ball to Likely. You know, the offensive line was down the field, so I was trying to make something happen. Tried to squeeze the ball, slipped out my hand. Von Miller picked it up, got some yards. I think that led to points for them. So it's a team effort out there. You know, he been busting his behind, he making plays happen out down that field for us. Came up short, and like I've been saying all season, every time we in situations like this, turnovers play a factor. Penalties play a factor. Tonight, the turnover can't have that, you know? And that's why we lost the game, because as you can see, moving the ball wonderfully is hold on to the ball. I'm sorry for my language. Annoying.
Yeah, man. I mean, we talked about the fumbles, and when you talk about the splitting hairs of the MVP, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, Lamar has not thrown the interceptions this year, but he has fumbled the heck out of the football. And that play where it's a bad snap, he saves it, great play, oh my gosh. And then to go on and fumble it in that moment, you're like, oh my goodness gracious.
It stinks.
And he played outstanding. Like, outside of those two plays, he played incredible football. You lead your team down that final drive, 88 yards or whatever it was, throwing dimes, making plays, buying time. And then, I mean, Mark Andrews is just beside himself.
I would say, and this is not one that makes Raven fans feel any better, but the way that game ended, I don't think that hurts his postseason legacy like it might have, for the reasons you just gave. Like, he led the team down, put him in position to win. Could the ball to Andrews, maybe it was a little low, could have been better. I know, Brian, we talked about that.
I don't disagree.
It wasn't a great throw.
He pushed it at him. But it was there, right? And he had a chance to catch it, and he should have got it, and then it's a tie game, and who knows how the rest of that game goes. But
that football's at least 3 feet off target, you know? Yeah. I think the reason that he dropped it is he was trying to make sure he was still going to get into the end zone before he went out of bounds, because it was low and
it
wide.
It was low.
You know, and I this is tough because I think Lamar Jackson completed the six previous passes on that drive,
six
in a row, including a great touchdown. But when you're letting your team down in big moments like that, I don't know how much it matters that you run or compile all these stats. I mean, the truth is being told about you when the pressure is at the highest, and the truth is mechanics and accuracy in the passing game are a big problem for Lamar Jackson when he gets in the postseason.
Yeah, he doesn't have multiple turnovers in a game all season, and then he has multiple turnovers in the first half.
Ouch.
It's tough.
Real quick, Cleet Blakeman, he's called the most penalties this year at 252, and Sean Hockley's the fifth most at 221.
But Derrick Henry carries the ball 16 times for 84 yards, 5.2 an attempt.
Yeah, I mean, Todd Monken, and he's another one of these hot candidates right now. 2 years in a row, Raven fans are like, why didn't we run the ball more? That's exactly what you brought Derrick Henry in to do. A game like that, you give him the ball.
I mean, the Lions, you know, very disappointed, did not run the ball more. Baltimore, very disappointed, did not run the ball nearly enough. I can't imagine building so much of your identity on it, having them on the ropes. I mean, I guess Mike McCarthy did it multiple times this year as well. So it's a common issue. I think you get into situations and you feel like now we're going to make the big play, right? And when you're thinking about that and going away from something that is working so well, I think you deserve to lose. We got the C-Note, Cowboys news of the evening, then Krusty's Corner on deck here. It's the G-Bag Nation on a college football championship Monday, and we're back with more here.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
And the fan. Here we go, Nation. Time for the C-Note. Got a 3-round mock draft for you, Brian. thought you'd appreciate it as we now begin our march to late April, early May in the NFL draft.
I appreciate you thinking about me and Zach that way.
I mean, you guys have the best draft coverage in all of the country, you know, and
the world.
Yeah, it's right here on 105.3 The Fan every spring. And we'll get a three rounder in here, see what the guys think of, you know, what this draft haul would be like for the Cowboys. Would they give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down? That's probably coming to you in about 5 minutes.
Okay.
Segment's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. A couple of stories that are breaking here over the last 45 minutes or so. If you were holding out hope for Ben Johnson, that news broke late last hour, going to the Bears. So best of luck to him and Caleb Williams. And Mike McCarthy could be done, right? He'll have the Saints opportunity, yeah. And if that one doesn't come together for him, and I think he's getting an interview. Is he getting like an in-person interview or a Zoom call?
I think so. I think he's got an in-person one coming up, yes.
Right on. So best of luck to everybody involved there. Back to New Orleans, where he was once a quarterback's coach.
Yes, sir.
Could make a lot of sense. John Fossil, OC, takes the job at the – I'm sorry, special teams coordinator, takes the job at the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not back for sure. I liked most things that he did other than the whole Zuerlein deal. That sucked. And the occasional rogue fake punt was just weird that he had that much authority and autonomy. What's the reaction been like, Brian, for you?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I could do without Bones Fossil myself. I think he was a little bit too involved. I think McCarthy gave him too much latitude to affect the game the way he did. I think there's people in the organization right now that are happy that Bones Fossil, happy that they had the opportunity to work with him, happy that he's now somewhere else.
Yeah, you know, I feel like the Cowboys special teams isn't in a fairly good place, and maybe the next guy could improve upon,
yeah,
you know, some
so.
Of the things
yeah.
they've been doing. A soccer guy's coming off the best season ever by a kicker, according to Pro Football Focus, mm-hmm. because of the percentage that he hit, Brandon Aubrey, and the distance of some of those. His kicking score is the greatest in history. Jimmy Johnson here, cut 14 in the Cowboys coaching search. Take it away, Jim.
This decision is tied directly to the quarterback, Dak Prescott. He signed a $240 million contract, got a no-trade clause. He's had tremendous success in this system, so it doesn't make sense to bring in a new offensive system. The two key figures here, Brian Schottenheimer, the offensive coordinator for Dallas, you know, and like I said, Dak's done a great job in that system. The other key figure is Kellen Moore, offensive coordinator for Philadelphia. He is very close to Dak. He was a coordinator prior to Schottenheimer. Now, Jerry, he could surprise us with a decision, but I think those two key guys are the ones you start with.
Okay, you know, I don't mind that. If Dak's comfortable with the system, how much room for evolution is there inside? If you say we're staying with a West Coast passing game that Mike has and Schottenheimer has done and, you know, Kellen Moore's familiar with and a power running game. I think if you can just change out the power running game for a Shanahan style running game, how much of a wishful thinking would it be that, you know, they could actually pull off evolving that while still keeping Dak comfortable with the West Coast offense passing game, Brian?
Man, it's a tough question because to me, I don't want to believe that Dak Prescott doesn't want to learn a new offense. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how you can watch what other teams are doing and not want to try and do something differently. If you're so married to, well, I've got to have it this way, and you're basing everything on him, yeah, I'm trying to help Dak Prescott, don't get me wrong. But, man, I don't know how you cannot watch these games and not sit there and think like, well, man, we're not doing it the best way here. You know, but if you're that stubborn about it and you don't want to, you know, try and adapt and have a different plan for going forward, then you're just doomed to continue to do the things you are. And I don't think that's good enough. And if I'm Dak Prescott, I don't know how you just continually just, yeah, bring Kellen back, bring this back. It's okay with Shoddy. You haven't evolved with that. Now people will say, well, Brian, he was second in the MVP, you know, race last year. Okay. I get that. But there's been some real, real up and downs here with this. You know, it doesn't always seem like they're always have been on the same page. And so, you know, I was kind of hopeful that somebody new would come in here and and maybe make things and show Dak there's another way of doing this. I just don't feel we're going to get that with the current coaches that are being listed.
Yeah, I don't know how you can expect different results and a different system and different scheme with the same dudes in the room.
Yeah.
Just Shoddy, Kellen Moore, Nussmeier, whatever, Dak. It's just going to be the same stuff. You've got to go bring a guy in who has the answers. Hey, this is how it's done and this is how you coach it. If you've never done this before, that's a tough thing to just snap your fingers and say, okay, I'm going to start coaching this thing now, a scheme that I've never in my life done because I'm Brian Schottenheimer and my dad was Marty and this is how we did it 30 years ago and this is how McCarthy did it and this is how we do it.
Yeah, I think it's probably just wishful thinking, you know, that they could stay with somebody Dak is comfortable with and manage to evolve the offense. But last year in the second half of the season, I mean, it showed enough flexibility there to make a pretty big, change in a way that produced good results. Wolchuk said in the opening segment that after games this year, there were sources that said Schottenheimer and other people in the building were kind of scratching their head as far as what Mike McCarthy, you know, was bringing to the table. I guess there's a little bit of hope in there. You know, I'll just reset it. I don't think you're winning a Super Bowl doing basically what you've asked Dak to do or what Dak is comfortable in doing. You know, you need to find a way to make more explosive plays without risking the football. And I think that's what, you know, the McVays and Shanahan and their disciples specialize in. We go to a 3-round mock draft here for you, G-Bag Nation. Mock draft database, mock draft simulator will... be the brain power behind this one. Blog and the boys did a write-up on it. Round one, 12th overall pick. Would you give a thumbs up, thumbs down if you end up with Arizona wide receiver Tet McMillan?
Big thumbs up. I think you're still right there. I think you get a top five player. You get likely the best receiver in the draft, depending on where you have Hunter from Colorado. But yeah, this, in my opinion, would be the best receiver in the draft.
So you're saying round one of the draft, I'm out at a local Pluckers like the rest of the hosts. We're having ourselves a damn good time. Pick 12 pops up. That's the name. You're saying that party cranks up now a full 10 out of 10.
It'd be like CeeDee Lamb falling to you at 17. Yeah.
Especially with those highlights.
He's the best receiver in the class for me. I think he's better than Travis Hunter. As a
physicality,
receiver.
Hands. Huge. How's his routes? Good routes?
Good, smooth as hell. Now, he's not like the fastest guy to create natural separation. Kind of similar to the knock that you got from DeAndre Hopkins.
Your play caller's going to help you with that.
But the guy's got a massive catch radius. It doesn't really matter to me. Like, he's contested balls, 50-50 balls in the air. Those are his to win.
He's not going
to
drop a ball. This kid just is not. I mean, he is. Everything about him is all about the catch point, extending, separation. If you want to watch him, if you really want to watch him play against Arizona, playing against Hunter when Hunter was playing corner at Colorado.
From last season?
He lit him up.
Second round, we go to Ohio State, where running back Travion Henderson is on the board, and he comes to the Cowboys with the 44th overall pick in this mock. A three down back, says the write up, runner, receiver, pass protector. He checks all the boxes the Cowboys should be looking for at 5'10", 208. Would that get a thumbs up from you as well, Brian?
Absolutely, it would. I mean, I feel like that there's probably some second round running backs that they're probably off the board potentially here. But if Henderson would be the top player that I would have in the top of the third round is how I would look at it. But this guy is exceptional when it comes to explosive runs. He can catch the football. He's a really good pass protector. He had only one drop this season, too, throwing him the football. And so he's got some complete back traits to his game, and he's a very, very physical. It makes him a very valuable player to have, that pick at 44. Depending who else would be on the board for the running backs, though, that one would be good for me.
That would be incredible. Dude had 395 carries over his 3 years at Ohio State, 20 more than Ashton Jeanty had in one season.
Yeah, he had 606 yards, though, after contact. That just shows you what kind of a physical player.
Well, he split
player.
Time with Judkins this year. Yeah. I thought he should have come out last year, and he'd have been in the conversation for best running back in the class right there with Jonathan Brooks and Trey Benson for me, and then he decided to go back to school. So I'd be hauling on Travion Henderson.
Round three, you go to Tennessee, where the defensive tackle Omar Norman Lott is sitting. Uh-oh. Is this a OSA replacement?
This is your guy here, Brian.
Yeah, this would right here would be a pretty good option for you as that three technique. And with him, he's one of those guys. He played at Arizona State initially in his career, but you have to kind of pay attention to when he's in and out, because Tennessee rotates their guys quite a bit, but he's got explosive first-step quickness. Excuse me. He can penetrate. He does things like just – he's usually the first guy off the snap. When you watch Tennessee's line, he's usually the first one coming off the ball. He's super active. His quickness helps him as a pass rusher. He's really, really good with his hands, the way he fights off pass blockers. There's some snaps where he gets stuck a little bit, but the effort to kind of free himself and fight through it makes him a much better finisher right there. So that guy at 6'3", 315 pounds, three technique would not be a bad get there in the third round.
Be stealing in the third.
That would be cool, but I mean, after getting McMillan and Henderson in the first two rounds, I'm just having a party. You know, it's all gravy after that. I think you would have significantly upgraded your offense, put some firepower back in this thing for Dak. Now, do you think McMillan will be available at 12?
Probably not.
Yeah. All righty. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. For more from Brian, let's get Krusty's Corner coming up next, buddy. What do you say?
Yeah, I'm going to give you the nerdy view of the weekend in the playoffs. We'll do that next.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Ross, in for Lucius today. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. And coming up at 4 o'clock, it'll be a hodgepodge. Right now, Brian Broaddus takes center stage here with Krusty's Corner.
Thank you very much, Joe. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Which do you think of the two playoff teams in the NFC bothers Jerry Jones the most of getting into the championship game?
I would think Washington.
Yeah, Washington.
Yeah, like you just had your who was his friend have to sell the team in Dan Snyder, and year one, boom, here you are. You get yourself a quarterback. You're in the conference championship game. He's seen the Eagles do it a lot. I mean, this is what, their eighth appearance here.
Sure.
You got Cowboys coaches and players all over the roster. And in 1 year, they go from being NFL sewage to four quarters from the Super Bowl. That has to, I mean, both of them hurt. Looking at the Eagles and see how they paid their quarterback and also built one hell of a roster is also probably a little eye-opening, or you would hope it would be.
I think they're built to win the conference. I know I've said that before.
The Eagles?
The Eagles are. I think Dallas is built to win the division. I think the Philadelphia Eagles are built to win the conference.
I think Jerry's got a lot of denial in him about how bad he sucks at his job of managing the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. I think he's one of the greatest owners in the history of sports, maybe the single greatest. But when it comes to general managing and you know being in charge of football stuff, you know Daniel Snyder was maybe the only owner in the NFL, well, maybe Woody Johnson, but one of the few owners in the NFL doing it worse. You know, in the back of Jerry's mind, you got to be thinking.
Mm-hmm.
These critics, you know, they're probably wrong, but man, there's and then Snyder sells the team, new guy comes on board, sets a totally different direction, and instantly you win. I mean, in the back of your mind, you got to be thinking, maybe if I left, the Cowboys would get right back to the top, just like happened to George Steinbrenner twice in his Yankee ownership.
You feel like that he is. That Jerry, and again, we're just thinking, we're putting ourselves into Jerry's brain here. But do you think Jerry's thinking of this, though, and like instead of the ownership change, it's the quarterback change? That Daniels is the reason why they're in the NFC Championship game. Is that his justification?
Probably.
Yeah, because he doesn't want to justify, well, gosh, if I were to sell the team, what would they do as soon as I was no longer here running things? Like, you don't want that to ever enter your brain. Like, would they be better off without me? No. So, yeah, if I had Jaden Daniels, we'd be in the NFC Championship game.
Do you feel like this team would have a chance if he came out and said, listen, I'm still going to own the team, but Will McClay is running the team? Do you feel like there would be enough of a change to potentially get your team into the NFC Championship game?
I do. You know, I think so much of it is a winning culture. And, you know, I think the way that he involves himself with the media so consistently eats away at the authority of the coach. You know, I don't know how many personnel decisions that Jerry Jones is responsible for that have held this team back. You know, I think it's much more a culture of winning, and the focus has to be on those Sundays. And as much as, you know, Jerry could talk about the quarterback, sure. And, you know, that's a big part of it. But that comes down to the decision making of the organization. He probably looks at it as Daniels' luck. And then the fact that Washington drafted so horribly, so as Jaden Daniels arrives, you have a pretty clean salary cap situation. You could go out there and do some shopping in free agency. So, you know, it's complicated as all denial is.
just wonder if that's the case. If he feels like that, if he were to completely step away and Steven were to completely step away and they name somebody independently as the general manager, would the team be different?
Yeah, you definitely have a chance to, because that guy would be prioritizing winning. And he would be a real football guy in the chair. And so I think that would be the first step to this thing getting back on the right track. But that is as far-fetched as anything that we've ever conjured up.
I also wonder, like, how different would the hiring process be? Like, I don't believe Jason Witten's name would be anywhere in this conversation if you remove Jerry and Steven from it.
Sure.
Is Kellen Moore's name in the conversation, right? I mean, I wonder, I think Will McClay would have a much more intriguing in, like, okay, these guys actually could come in and make a difference as a head coach instead of kind of, here we go. We're bringing back a lot of guys we know, we're comfortable with. It's going to make the quarterback happy, maybe, and let's ride. And maybe it's all bridged to get to Jason Witten. I don't know. But I think Will McClay probably, I'd love to see what his interview list would look like.
I would, too. Do you think that, I know I'm talking about this a lot, but do you feel like, though, that the Cowboys, that the teams, the Final Four teams have made generational moves to get them? And I mean generational, like Kansas City's generational move was the hiring of Andy Reid and the drafting of Pat Mahomes. Do you think with Philadelphia, it's, you know, with Howie Roseman as their general manager? You know, do you think it's with the Commanders? We've talked about the Commanders. You know, with Buffalo, is it their generational move was drafting
Josh Allen?
Yeah,
does it take you making a generational move to get you into this group that we're talking about? And is Dallas even capable of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's you got to find a generational type of head coach or quarterback, and the three of the four all have the quarterback. Jalen Hurts might be the question in Philly. There's still a lot of Eagle fans that feel like the roster's so damn good around him that sometimes they win in spite of him. That's Howie Roseman being arguably the best general manager in the sport,
right,
and building a tremendous team around him. But then Nick Sirianni, as much as we want to criticize him, and I think a lot of it's fair, and it might just be unfair because he's got the most punchable face arguably in sports, but 52 wins in his first four seasons is the most among any coach in NFL history. So the dude wins football games as a head coach. Ultimately, that's what you're kind of looking for. That's your job description.
I mean, you got to do something the best, and nobody's going to say Dan Quinn or Cliff Kingsbury are the best at their job, but you've got a quarterback that can, you know, really make it happen. I think there's some luck involved there, significant luck with Washington. I mean, their defense was so vulnerable to not take better advantage of it, to turn the ball over three times from the Lions' perspective, you know. But that goes to not having as good of a quarterback. As the pressure gets dialed up, you know, a guy like Jared Goff, if there's any opportunity to screw it up, I think he'll find it, you know. The best quarterbacks won, other than Stafford and Hurts, and you could say that's about a tie, and the Rams, you know, roster was pretty week.
Can I just like push a question back at you here?
Sure.
Is there anything, and this could be a terrible thought, but as Jerry gets older and he's always talked a big game about, I'll write this check, X check.
Sure.
That the coaching shouldn't be an issue. Like, you should not be worried ever about being outbid for a head coach. But as he gets older and you naturally think about, okay, what am I leaving for my family? You start to be a little bit more of a penny pincher. Like, you're now a little more frugal than you ever were. I am counting my dollars a little bit more. Like, what do I have to leave to my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren? Because there seems to be a little bit of a stubbornness here that maybe was never a narrative, but certainly has to be a narrative now about how much are you willing to spend on some of the things you can spend a lot of money on.
I just wonder if that's more Steven Jones.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's more Steven than it is anything.
He's always been a lot more budget conscious.
He has always been that way. And to me, you know, in working with both of them, and I worked when we were spending money in free agency, and hell, I was with Parcells when he was even spending money on players that couldn't play in free agency. But I just wonder if it's a thing where Steven Jones has become this draft and develop guy.
Absolutely.
I think that's Steven has told the Jones family, like, listen, this is the way we can operate.
Yeah.
We can win. You know, we can win by doing draft and development stuff. We don't have to go out and spend $9 million on Marco Rivera and others that never played. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I think this is more about Steven feeling that way than it is Jerry.
When it comes to writing the checks, I would not be surprised, you know, because that would be consistent with how things have gone. And I think Jerry's much more willing to gamble. But yeah. I'll have faith when Steven takes over, because Steven isn't going to be, you know, constantly creating distractions for the head coach. I don't think Steven wants to be so in control and have such a position of importance and prominence when it comes to the day-to-day decision-making. And I think it'll be easier to build a good winning culture when Steven is officially the boss.
See, I totally agree with you, because I feel like that he will take more of a step back. And I think then, whether it's Will McClay or somebody else in that chair,
yeah,
I think Steven really does respect scouting.
Yes.
But I don't think he respects like free agency.
No,
how it could work to his advantage.
And I'll tell you another thing that I would add for a major problem for Steven is he pays his own guys too often.
See, that's...
You pay guys that are above average, like they're top-of-the-market players. You do that just a couple of times, you know, not understanding the mistake you were making with Zeke's contract at that point in his career, the Tony Pollard franchise tag, the Jalen Smith contract. We don't talk about that one enough. Yeah. Like, they draft these guys and they build a little bit of brand around them, and then they give them way too much money when you should just take that money and give it to a player off the street. They're actually good once you get them looking at the tier three free agents. Yeah. They can find with their pro scouts some guys that can really come in here and help.
They've done an excellent job when it comes to the rookies, the undrafted rookie free agents coming in and getting some mileage out of them. And then Carl Lawson's an example this year, like finding guys off the street that end up.
Now they've had their Don Terry Pose here recently.
They have.
They caught a good run this year.
It's hit or miss, but I guess to me it's more of the coaching thing. It's like there's no salary cap for coaches. In no world, if Robert Saleh is weighing, like, should I go to San Francisco or should I come to Dallas? Like, you shouldn't ever worry, are the Cowboys going to write the check to that guy? And you have to, as a Cowboy fan, worry about that. You should never be outbid for a coach.
Yeah.
You shouldn't feel like that.
But it's also Romo and Dak, don't you think? Like, if you don't have a good enough quarterback, if you're not good enough, the next best thing isn't paying him and hoping he's good enough. It's moving on to a rookie salary scale guy. And hopefully he's a Hall of Famer that when you pay him market setting money can still, you know, be a difference maker in January.
Yeah, I just, like I said, I'm sorry. I was going to bring up some stuff about these games, but I appreciate you guys saying real quick before we finish this out. Can I ask one more thing?
Sure.
Mike Bacsik was talking about, he was comparing all the running backs in this current playoffs, and he was trying to talk about Zeke. He mentioned that Zeke party himself out of being one of the best running backs. That could have been one of these guys that we've seen currently. Do you agree with what he's saying?
Absolutely. You know, I think when you party like that and you're already built a little bit heavier, there's wear and tear on you. Obviously, he had a lot of carries from Ohio State through his first three years with the Cowboys on top of it. But, you know, other guys can survive it better. I always think of Mike Napoli, the great Ranger favorite, and he would openly tell people, there's no way I'm going to play into my mid-30s. And that's baseball. He said, I party too hard.
Yeah.
You know, it's poison for your body. And, you know, you're excelling in spite of it.
And you have the perfect picture of Derrick Henry being drafted in the same draft and still getting it done at a high level.
That's what I'm saying. Mike was trying to talk about the backs, the Barclays and others that are here.
Joe Mixon still getting it done.
Yeah.
The guys that make it a long time are usually dialed in, shirt tucked in, yes or no sir kind of guys. You know, and we had, you know, the Greenville Parade guy.
Yeah.
Flashing the audience, you know, living it up. Getting in fights with security guards. I mean, there was a lot of stuff playing out behind the scenes that, you know, painted a picture that Zeke wasn't taking care of his body. And on top of all the carries that he got, it was way too much.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest mistake in there wasn't to draft him, but it was to pay him after you've seen him in your building and knew his song and dance, betting on him being great at 26, 27, 28.
Well, I think Mike brought up a really good point that Jerry Jones sees himself in Zeke because he's got that partying mentality and stuff like that. So
that is interesting.
I thought that was a really good point.
Sports Hodgepodge coming up next. Thank you, Brian. Chief, where are we going?
We got Buffalo's championship-level concession items. We got Aston Jeanty adding another line to his resume, and we begin to prep our bodies for the Natty next in the nation.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.